Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for your time. I have the pleasure to present our fiscal year 2018 figures for STRABAG SE in Vienna. As you might recall, last year I had the pleasure to present the second record year in a sequence and outlined the problem that, of course, the expectations would be high enough for 2018. That's why I'm extremely lucky that I today can present to you a triple record high year, and this is the third year in a sequence. The triple record has to be referred to three key figures. The first one is the order backlog. You have the chart number three in front of you. The second one is the output volume, and the third one is the EBIT and EBIT margin. All three key figures show the highest value for the past half decade. That goes for the order backlog, which has reached almost 17 billion euros, meaning a plus of 2% over 2017. It is also true for the output volume, which showed a plus of 12% and amounted to more to 16.3 billion euros. And before all, it is true for the EBIT, which showed a profit jump of 25%, amounting to 558 million euros, and including a non-operating step-up profit in the amount of 55.3 million euros. If you adjust the figure by this one-time off, it would still have been a all-time record, amounting to more than 500 million euros and a plus of 12%. This one-time off refers to the takeover of 100% of the Panswevia concession company in Germany. I will explain that a little later on again. If you come to page number four, this gives a full analysis of the output volume. We were ourselves a little bit surprised that the final figure amounted to more than 16 billion euros. The growth in output volume has been seen in all of the group's most important markets, and a very important factor for this unusual positive development was definitely the perfect weather conditions for the construction industry in Europe in basically all our core markets. In the Americas region, the output volume also rose considerably due to the order extension for our tunneling project Alto Maipo in Chile, currently the group's largest project. Only in smaller markets such as Switzerland, Denmark and Russia, the output volume did decline. Today, Germany is good for about 48% of the output volume, Austria for 16%, and the rest of Europe for almost 30%, which means that the dynamism, especially in our biggest single market, Germany, was a little stronger than in the other core markets of the group. Let's now come to the order backlog. Details are shown on page number five. Numerous orders in our largest markets, above all Germany, Austria and Poland, again raised the order backlog to a new record level at the end of the year 2018. The contract which I mentioned already before, Alto Maipo Tunneling in Chile, with a value in the higher triple digit million euro range, was also characteristic for the increase of the order backlog. With the working off of large projects, the order backlog also declined, for instance, in Hungary, Slovakia, and Russia, and came at least to a rest of 16.9 billion, 2% above the record level of the previous year, 2017. Details regarding the EBIT development are given on our slide number six. To start with the EBITDA, it increased by 14% and amounted to 953 million euros, with slight growth of the margin from 6.2 to 6.3%. Adjusting the EBITDA for the aforementioned non-operating step-up profit regarding Panswevia, this resulted in an adjusted EBITDA margin of 5.9% and EBITDA growth of 8%. The EBIT of STRABAG increased by 25% and amounted to 558 million, which corresponds to an EBIT margin on sales of 3.7% after 3.3% in 2017. Even when adjusted for the before-mentioned non-operating step-up profit, the EBIT grew by 12% and the EBIT margin came to 3.3%. The earnings improvement is before all attributable to the International and Special Divisions segment. In this segment, the property and facility services and real estate development business continue to make very positive contributions to the earnings, while burdens from large loss-making projects in the international area were absent this year. Let's now come to page number 7, earnings per share. To start with the net interest income, this was comparable to that of the previous year. A positive exchange rate result of 4.65 million was achieved with regard to exchange rate differences, whilst an exchange rate loss of minus 9.4 million euros had still been reported in the previous year. This was, however, cancelled out by a lower income from interest. Our income tax rate stood at 31.7%, slightly higher than in the previous year, where it amounted to 30.6%. The earnings owed to minority shareholders amounted to 9.25 million euros. On the one hand, 2018 was the first year in which no minority shareholders had to be considered at STRABAG AG in Cologne, Germany. On the other hand, projects in the successful real estate development business are at times performed with partner companies. Our net income after minorities for 2018 stood at 353.53 million euros, an increase of 27%. The earnings per share amounted to 3.45 euros, whilst in 2017 it was still 2.72 euros. With regard to our dividend proposal, I would like to draw your attention to slide number 8. As you know, we place great value on a constant dividend policy. My management board colleagues and I are keeping to our goal of paying out between 30 to 50% of net income after minorities to the shareholders in the form of a dividend once a year. In view of the record year, of the third record year in a row, 2018, in conjunction with the expectations for the future, the management board likes to propose to the annual general meeting on 28th June 2019 a dividend of €1.30 per share, which is unchanged from the record high in the previous year. The payout ratio of 38%, as in every year since our IPO in 2007, is exactly within the range of 30 to 50% of the net income after minorities, as defined by our dividend policy. The dividend yield of 5.1%, based on the year-end price of our share, is also a record high. Now we come to our balance sheet and the net cash position given on page number 9. Our balance sheet, due to the increased shareholding in Pansuevia from 50% to 100% and its subsequent full consolidation, grew from a total of 11.1 billion on 31st December 2017 to 11.6 billion on the 31st of December 2018. This also explains the growth of the non-current financial liabilities. For the first time, our balance sheet includes the items contract assets and contract liabilities, which in accordance with IFRS 15 report receivables and payables from construction contracts, previously in trade receivables and trade payables. Despite the above-mentioned balance sheet growth, our equity ratio increased from 30.7% to 31.4%. As in the meantime usual, a net cash position was reported on the end of 2018. This figure fell in the face of higher investments and the repayment of bank borrowings slightly from 1.3 billion euros to 1.2 billion. Positive factors also for the ratings agencies Standard & Poor's. In July 2018, S&P confirmed our investment grade rating BBB. The outlook was left at stable. S&P sees STRABAG SE's strengths above all in the stable margins in an otherwise quite cyclical market environment, in its effective risk management, in the strategic access to construction materials, and in our strong market positions. Let's now come to the various cash and cash equivalent key figures given on slide number 10. Our cash flow from operating activities fell despite the higher cash flow from earnings from 1.34 billion to 736 million due to the weaker working capital decrease as compared to the previous year. Our cash flow from investing activities at -588 million was 76% more negative, due in part to the higher investments in property, plant, and equipment and because of the Pansevia transaction, which I already mentioned several times. The repayment of a bond and the cash outflow related to the acquisition of all the minority shares of our now delisted German subsidiary, STRABAG AG, influenced our cash flow from financing activities, which reached a value of -434 million after -234 million euros in the previous year. On page number 11, we give you the seasonal development of the cash flows over the quarters of each calendar year. As the chart shows, the high cash inflows are always registered in the fourth quarter of a year. Q4 2017 was a record, and we expected that the high working capital inflows would reverse in 2018. The expectation of a significant reduction in advance payments in 2018 and a concomitant increase in working capital to familiar levels thus did not materialize. On page number 12, we give you the development of our positive free cash flow as the difference of cash flow from operating activities and cash flow from investing activities. After an exceptionally high free cash flow in 2017, we had been able to post a positive free cash flow in 2018 again. We had forecasted net capital expenditures in the amount of approximately 550 million for 2018. In the end, it totaled to 588 million euros. The CapEx, meaning the gross investments before subtraction of proceeds from asset disposals, stood at 743 million euros. This figure includes expenditures on intangible assets and on property, plant, and equipment of 645 million, the purchase of financial assets in the amount of 27.55 million, and 70.26 million from changes to the scope of consolidation. Maintenance expenditures in 2018 were made primarily in our core markets, Germany, Austria, Poland, and in the Czech Republic. Noteworthy was also the high percentage of capital investments, which at times greatly exceeded the maintenance expenditures in markets like Austria, Croatia, and Hungary. This can be explained by the general expansion of the permanent business and of the raw materials network. Expenditures on intangible assets and on property, plant, and equipment during the year under report must be seen against depreciation and amortization in the amount of 394 million euros. The small goodwill impairment of 2 million only is almost unchanged from the previous year. Let's now come to our three operational segments. I start with the biggest one, which is called North and West, and does not show any changes as compared to my previous presentations. It means that it comprises our building construction, civil engineering, and transportation infrastructures business in Germany, Poland, the Benelux countries, and Scandinavia. Ground engineering can also be found in this segment. The output volume of the segment was up by 14% compared to 2017. This was attributable to the high order backlog, especially in Germany and Poland, and again, to the excellent weather conditions in the region. Especially in Germany, hardly any restrictions were noticed during the winter months. In Denmark, the output declined as new large-scale projects did not immediately follow up on the working of the current order backlog. The EBIT of this segment, however, declined by 19% and came to 161 million euros. This was due to provisions for individual large-scale projects in several countries of the segment. The order backlog climbed up by 8%. This growth was primarily driven by increases in Germany, Poland, and Denmark. Order successes were to be seen in Germany, but also in the Northern European countries in Scandinavia, for example, with regard to several buildings in the Copenhagen-Carlsberg quarter. For 2019, the North and West segment is expected to generate a somewhat lower input volume than in the previous year, with business stabilizing at a high level. This expectation is based on the assumption of normal weather conditions in the course of this year. The German building construction and civil engineering business should continue to make a positive contribution on both output volume and earnings. The transportation infrastructures business in Germany posted an excellent year in 2018. The situation was defined by lasting low interest rates, unusually mild weather, high tax revenues, and the long-standing investment backlog in public infrastructure in Germany. A limiting factor for further expansion of the business, however, in this country remains staff and limited capacities among subcontractors. The general environment in Poland remained bleak. There still is a shortage of skilled workers, construction materials, and capacities in general to meet the enormous demand in the industry. In the past 2 years, this had led to double-digit increases in the cost of labor, construction material, and subcontractor prices. A still satisfactory result should be achieved nonetheless. We come to page number 14, given the details for our South and East segment. Also, this segment remained unchanged. It comprises our building construction and civil engineering business, as well as our transportation infrastructures activities in Austria, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, Southeast Europe, Russia, and Switzerland. Our global environmental engineering activities are also handled within this segment. The output volume of South and East was up by 9% year-on-year in 2018 and amounted to 4.6 billion euros. Increases were recorded mainly in our home market of Austria, as well as in Hungary and the Czech Republic, while the output declined in Switzerland. The competition, above all for personnel and subcontractor services, also intensified in the Central and Eastern European markets, which pushed margins from an exceptionally high level to a more normal level in 2018, with an EBIT of 142 million euros, an EBIT margin of 3.1% was achieved. The order backlog fell by 4%. In Hungary and Slovakia, this figure dropped down from an exceptionally high level at the beginning of 2018, while in Austria, the order backlog continued to increase. In 2019, the output volume of the segment should increase slightly, with margins expected to remain at an attractive level. The general situation in the majority of our markets is defined by a strong inflation of costs due to the high demand coupled with a shortage of skilled labor. The situation in our home markets of Austria remains positive. New large-scale building construction projects in the cities, especially in Vienna, are continually restocking the order backlog as similar projects reach completion. In the Czech Republic and Slovakia, the margins have been falling now for several years. The climate in the construction industry is getting tenser, as has been expected by us. In Slovakia, tenders are mostly for transportation projects with EU co-financing, including several railway projects, though the situation here is characterized by fierce competition, a labor shortage, and again volatile prices for construction materials. In the Czech Republic, the focus previously had been on building construction for the automobile industry, as well as commercial centers and office buildings for industrial clients. Now, we have bid for several infrastructure projects that have also come up for tender in this country. In Hungary, the challenge in the coming months and years will be to work off the high order backlog. Our company is therefore being selective with regard to the acquisition of new contracts. The entire Hungarian construction industry is currently in an unusually active phase. Our markets in Southeast Europe are developing quite differently. On the one hand, an increasing number of large projects are coming up for tender. At the same time, however, competition and political risks are again on the rise in individual countries of the region. Our environmental engineering business is developing very positively. Our business in Switzerland is going as expected. Demand is stagnating at a high level, yet the competition among the market participants is usually carried out over the price. We will therefore focus on infrastructure projects in the future in this market. In Russia, the state budget situation is easing in response to the increased price of oil. The policy focus is on reducing the negative impact from sanctions. The construction industry has probably passed through the lowest point. Strabag continues to bid mainly for large residential projects in Moscow and increasingly also in St. Petersburg. Financing problems have had a dampening effect on project realization in this country, however. Let's now come to our third and last operational business, which is the International and Special Division segment. It comprises our worldwide tunneling activities, the concession business, our construction materials business, real estate development, and our property and facility management services. Additionally, most of the services in non-European markets are also bundled in this segment. International Special Divisions closed 2018 with a plus of 10% in output volume, attributable especially to the working off of a large project in the Americas, Altamipo. The other markets were mixed. The EBIT of the segment more than tripled from 62 million euros in the year 2017 to 199 million. The absence of prior year earnings burdens from international construction contracts and the continued strong contributions to earnings from the property and facility services and real estate development businesses had a particularly strong positive impact on the result development. The order backlog of the segment, however, was down by 4%. Difficult technical conditions at the Alto Maipo hydropower project in Chile and the withdrawal of a contractor led our client there to conclude a new construction agreement with our Chilean subsidiary in February 2018. The agreement had been pending since bank financing was open. It became effective only on 8th May 2018. With this additional contract, we took on another construction section of this large project, adding approximately 800 million euros to the order volume for a contract value of about 1.5 billion euros, making this project the biggest in our group currently. This contract extension and an increase in the United Kingdom stand in contrast to a reduction in Austria, Italy and Asia, among other places. In 2019, the International and Special Division segment is expected to generate a slightly lower output volume and the earnings are expected to remain on the same level as in the previous year. Our real estate development business should continue to make very positive earnings contributions as the ongoing low interest rates and the continuously high demand for commercial and residential real estate are responsible for a generally good framework for this business field. Although the market for concession projects remains a difficult one, especially in Europe, the income from existing public-private partnerships, PPPs, should also help the infrastructure and development business to another significant earnings contribution. As already outlined several times, in the third quarter of 2018, Strabag increased its previous 50% stake in Panswevia, the operator of the German A8 motorway, to 100%. With the exception of a few lighthouse projects in Germany, Poland, the Czech Republic, however, no new PPP tenders are expected in the field of road construction in the group's European core countries at this time. For this region, we are also focusing on selected markets outside of Europe, for instance, Latin America. Our international business, which means the business we conduct in countries outside of Europe, has for several years been focused on South America, where larger investments in the field of infrastructure, energy, and water are expected. In the Middle East, traditionally an important market for the group, the relatively low price of oil had brought the construction markets to a standstill. Although the forecast predict another recovery of the oil price and tender activity is up again, the general environment in this region is unlikely to improve considerably in the short term. Besides our core European markets in tunneling, we are especially active in Canada, Chile, the United Kingdom, and Singapore at technically very challenging projects. In property and facility services, Strabag PFS further diversified its client portfolio in 2018 and more than doubled the volume of new orders year on year. The new acquisitions include companies like Airbus, Deutsche Bahn, Hypofinance Bank, Immofinance, and Nordex. In addition to that, Strabag PFS is expanding at its geographical radius. In December 2018, Strabag PFS Austria GmbH signed an agreement to acquire 100% of the shares of Kaverion Polska of Warsaw, a Polish specialist in the field of technical facility management. The company, with around 170 employees, in 2017 generated an output volume of around 50 million zloty. Overall, the construction materials business is again showing a very positive trend. Our dense network of construction material operations remains an important basis for self-supply within the group and thus a foundation for greater competitiveness, especially in the road construction business. I now come to the guidance for 2019 and the summary of my presentation on page number 16. The unusually high output volume in 2018, in part as commented due to the excellent weather conditions for construction, greatly exceeded the planning and our own expectations, and so leaves not so much room for further growth expectations in 2019. The management board of Strabag expect an output volume of about 16 billion, which would correspond to a slight minus of 2%. Compared with the original planning for 2018, however, this still corresponds to an increase by 1 billion. I have to admit, however, that the weather conditions in the first quarter of 2019 has to be considered as good as in the previous year. Although there are certain risks inherent for the construction business, from today's perspective, there's nothing to be said against issuing the target of an operating EBIT margin of at least 3.3% also for the 2019 financial year. The economic situation in our group's large geographic markets is expected to remain positive. The continued strong demand in the construction sector, however, is resulting in increasing cost pressure on subcontractor services, labor, and construction materials. For this reason, the margins can no longer be expected to grow as continuously as they did in the past few years for Strabag. The earnings forecast is based on the expectation that our property and facility management entities, the real estate development, and the infrastructure development continue to contribute positively to the earnings, and that large risks, for example, in tunneling and civil engineering, do not manifest in the same time. Our net investments in 2018 are not expected to exceed the value of 550 million euros. So all in all, we continue to look positively into the future, even if the conditions are not getting easier. Our focus remains on the margin. Together with our now more than 75,000 employees, We will continue to do our best to be a preferred employer, a reliable contractor, and an attractive stock. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you very much for your attention, and I'm now open for your eventual questions regarding our fiscal year 2018.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. The first question is from the line of Norbert Kretlow of Commerzbank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I had two questions, if I may. The first one would be on the order, backlog, which has already been reported. However, I think it's worth to have a look at it. And here in particular in Northwest and International Special, when I look at the order backlog, I get the impression that the order intake in Q4 has been somewhat on the weak side with book-to-bill orders, with book-to-bill ratios of between 0.5 to 0.7 times. Maybe can you give us an idea about whether or not you see there's something structural in the fourth quarter or whether or not this is rather something like typical usual fluctuations that we see in the order intake? And the second question would be on German traffic infrastructure construction, and here with, in particular, with regards to the margin development in 2018. I mean, you mentioned that the labor situation is tense. On the other hand, what we are hearing is that the high demand here also results in price increases. Can you give us an idea about your margin development in this business? Or to put it in other words, can we expect to see price increases compensating your input cost expenses, therefore flat margins, or is there even something like margin pressure in this business?
Thank you, Mr. Kretlow. Well, I think with regarding to the order backlog, your impression is right, and that to a certain extent might already be compensated by the fact that we had the occasion to publish several announcements of large order intakes in the first months of this year. And it might well be the case, especially when it comes to huge contracts that need some time, that some of the contracts which initially could have been awarded in 2018, by the end of 2018, now had been awarded in 2019. So if you have a look at the various announcements which we made to new orders in the beginning of 2019, you will easily detect that it is a rather big number which we have reported there. So that might be an explanation for your impression regarding Q4 2018. And when it comes to the margins in transportation infrastructure, especially in Germany, I can confirm that in the meantime the demand is so strong that we have already seen the possibility to execute price increases which partly overcompensate the cost increases.
Good to know. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Kletter.
The next question comes from a line of Daniel Lyon of Erste Group. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. I would like to follow up on this on the margin topic overall. Now, from a top-down perspective, when we look at the situations in the respective segments, you have, of course, in the first two segments, you have rather tough situations on the market, partially maybe also in the international and special divisions. Now maybe with the exception of Chile. On the other hand, you will lose partially the facility management business of Deutsche Telekom by mid-year, which should have a negative impact. Would it be fair to assume that the real estate development and maybe the ongoing positive dynamics maybe from a materials business compensate this reduction in the facility management or service business? Or do you see, as you just mentioned, that price increases on the market overcompensate the input costs, maybe not only in Germany, but maybe also in other markets like in Poland? And therefore, we could also expect increasing profitability in your business segments, Northwest and Southeast?
Mr. Leon, it is definitely our ambition to again increase the margin in the North and West business. We are not satisfied with the 2.1%, which we had to report last year. Our ambition is definitely that we come back to the margin level we had in 2017 for the last time. So this is the first comment on that. With regard to the compensation for the outgoing facility management business with Deutsche Telekom, of course, this effect was part of the basis for our 2019 output guidance, which said it will be a sort of stagnating year if the weather conditions again will be normal. And it is our expectation that the compensation for the Deutsche Telekom account in the second half of this year, as we've been losing the contract by the 1st of July, as you are aware, will be made by two factors, basically. First of all, Strava PFS was quite successful in winning already new customers already for this year. It is true, however, that these acquisition successes will not be good enough for fully compensating the outgoing Deutsche Telekom turnover. And we believe that the rest of the compensation will be performed by our core business in building construction, civil engineering, transportation infrastructures. Of course, also building materials will help a little bit because prices for raw materials are also going up. But it is more or less the core business, the core construction business, which will be helping to compensate for the rest of the loss of the FM account Deutsche Telekom.
Okay. Thanks for that. Maybe now a more general or maybe strategic question. There's many talks currently on the Chinese setting up basically the Seidenstraße and basically a connection, additional connection towards Europe. Is there how do you generally regard this topic? Do you see yourself to be a beneficiary in this development, and to what extent, and where would you see yourself as a beneficiary if this is the case?
Difficult question. In the first place, I have to admit that right now we see a little conflict, but this is being coined by the point that in one single project we have a potential conflict, and this is the famous Pelješac bridge in Croatia, the bridge which is meant to link the two parts of Croatia which are separated by a corridor belonging to Bosnia and Herzegovina going to the Adriatic Sea. And as you probably recall, this contract for the Pelješac bridge being co-financed by the European Union with 85% had been awarded to a Chinese state-owned company. The second bidder with a difference of 30% was Strabag, and the third one with a very low difference to us was an Italian consortium. We complained with the Croatian authorities and also with the EU commissions because it is our feeling that the price of the Chinese bidder was only possible due to dumping practices regarding the steel being needed to build the bridge. So far, we had not been successful with that complaint, and as far as we are informed, the Chinese bidder has started construction works in Croatia also with Chinese workers. So this is the first contract where we saw where we experienced a sort of conflict. For the rest of the One Belt, One Road initiative, or Seidenstraße as it's put in German, it has to be seen. Once the Chinese would be looking for resources to realize potential investment in Europe, of course we would be a potential contractor for that. Once they would prefer to perform those services and works themselves, of course we would again be very vigilant whether it is fair competition or again dumping practices which we consider not to be fair competition. So that has to be seen. There might be a chance for us because, of course, under normal conditions, we don't see any reason not to work for a Chinese employer. On the other side, once it came to competition, of course, we would be very vigilant to make sure that competition remains fair.
Of course, so it has both maybe positive or negative impacts.
Yeah.
Needs to be seen, yeah, sure.
Mm.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Maybe coming back to a more operational issue, the Piedemontana highway in Italy. You settled now the case. Is there any negative impact to be expected from the settlement now on your side? And have I understood it correctly that both of the lots will be tendered newly? So you won't continue with works, but basically it was everything starts from scratch again.
Yes, I think the basic understanding, Mr. Lyon, is correct. We have reached an agreement with the contractor. We still have to wait for 90 days because the contractor still has to fulfill a condition in order to really put the settlement into force. But we do not have doubts that our employer, our customer, will be able to perform to realize these conditions, and after that the project is more or less back to square one, and according to the settlement we do not expect any further deterioration of our financial situation. What we have seen before has been considered, and the settlement is in line with what we had expected for the settlement.
Okay, thanks. So, and one last one. Will it this year again be the case that Mr. Deripaska won't be able to receive the dividend?
Well, that is basically, of course, not a question which I am able to answer, but it is true that the time till our General Assembly is not so long. It is the 28th of June. And we would see ourselves obliged to choose the same method as last year once we would not see any change with regard to the structure of our Russian shareholder, which is a Cypriotic-based holding company. Once the situation legally would remain as it was last year, also the procedure would have to be the same as last year.
But this will be determined by the AGM.
Yeah, that has to be determined by us as a company in the time once the AGM is taking place. So the very current situation has to be checked. For the time being, I don't see any indication that the situation might change.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Leon. Bye-bye.
Again, if you have a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. And the next question is from a line of Carola of Will Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. Quick question. Year end, we had net cash of 1.2 billion. On one hand, on the other hand, Mr. Piffley was saying in the conference call that you do not see any further output growth for the company. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, wouldn't it be earnings accretive? I mean, it would definitely be earnings accretive to do a buyback. We have a book value of 35.5 year end. And at those levels, you know, the stock price obviously is way... it's not really trading on fundamentals. So would it be rational to go at the AGM to go for a limited buyback, or at least to get the authorization for that?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are two arguments. Thank you for the question. The first one is that we have a legal maximum in Austria, which is 10%, and we still have 6.7% treasury shares, though the potential theoretical maximum would only be 3.3%, again, in additional treasury shares, which is not that much. The second point is that with regard to the net cash, you must be aware of the fact that to a large extent it is short-term money, because the net cash position is also being sourced to a very large extent by unsecured down payments from our customers. And sure. This is an obvious development, so it doesn't belong to us. Our customers, private but also public customers, obviously try to evade negative interest rates from their banks, respectively the European Central Banks, and consider ourselves to be a bank with construction business. So this is not long-term money which we could use to perform such a transaction. But as I mentioned before, the potential maximum amount for such a transaction would be very limited anyhow.
Sure, but the 3.3% is a significant amount. I mean, looking at the liquidity of the stock also, I think it would work in both interests, you know, the major shareholders. Yeah. Also balance sheet wise, I mean, it's not all prepayments, you know. I mean, looking at the balance sheet from the company itself.
Once we cancelled the portion of the 10% treasury shares which we already had, the main consideration for the cancellation of only 3.3% was a signal to the market that we do not aim at delisting of a company, and that consideration, of course, remains the same today as well.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. But then, on the other hand, if you don't want to go this way, another alternative way would be to do a limited return of capital, which means it will be tax-free for minorities as well as for the big shareholders. Have you ever considered that avenue?
No, we haven't considered that for the time being, because we believe that our balance sheet also should be prepared for the future. And given some developments in our core markets in Central and Eastern Europe, especially in infrastructure, we believe that we will be seeing better times for PPP in a not-too-distant future, partly due to the effect of the Brexit, which means that the financial means of the EU for co-financing infrastructure in the CE region would sharply be reduced, and hence PPP would be on the rise again. And then, of course, we would like to be prepared to take the equity stakes which we need to take in order to win such projects, as we have done in the past, but we were hindered to do so because right now PPP is not really en vogue, because currently governments prefer conventional tenders, given the fact that they get enough money from Brussels. But this could be an indirect effect of the Brexit, and hence we would like to be prepared for that.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And there are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Thomas Patel for closing comments.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for your interest in our figures for 2018. And then I'm looking forward to comment on our half year's figures 2019 the next time. Thank you very much and goodbye.